You're listening to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
I'm Frank Provenzano from the University of Michigan. We're talking with Carol Boyd, professor of nursing and women's study at the University of Michigan. Carol is also director of the Institute for Research on Women and Gender, and she is a research scientist and former director at U of M's Substance Abuse Research Center. Carol, we're talking about the illegal use of pain medication, and this is a subject that touches on so many layers of American culture. It raises so many political, ethical issues. If we could just start with a basic question. Is the illegal use of pain medication indeed increasing among adolescents?
There has been a steady increase in the non-medical use of prescription pain medications in the last 10 years, particularly among what we consider to be younger adolescents, those between the ages of 12 and 17 years. However, when you listen to the media, it's almost as if people are framing it as a surge or an epidemic. And in fact, we really don't know whether we have an epidemic of sorts. What we know is there's been a steady increase, but the surge has actually been in public awareness and the public's perception of the problem, not in a surge in the non-medical use of prescription pain medication.
Oftentimes we hear the mainstream media giving us reports on the latest celebrity who's had perhaps a drug problem or is in rehab. Has this in some ways obscured what indeed the real problem is and in some ways simplified the issues?
Exactly. It has simplified the issues. We want to think of this problem as someone else's, someone who has a lot of money or is big in the media, in contrast to the person that walks through our kitchen every day, who may be taking the medicine bottle on our windowsill and I say this in quotes, borrowing a couple of mother or grandmother's Vicodin. So it's a way of making the problem outside of ourselves.
What demographic groups are most likely to abuse prescription medications?
In a broad sweep, African Americans are far less likely to abuse prescription medications than their white counterparts. In turn, kids that are college bound and once they get to college are more likely to abuse the prescription stimulants. White males in fraternities are disproportionately on college campuses likely to abuse all forms of prescription medications, as are their sorority sisters.
Well, what would be the reasons for that, though? I mean, you're away at college, you've been accepted to college, you know, you're there to get an education. Why abuse drugs?
Prescription stimulants are performance enhancing, and that's exactly what students tell us, is that they're using them to do better on their MCATs when they're getting ready for medical school or their finals.
So let's go into this with our eyes open. The common perception is that people who are lower income or people who are perhaps living at or below the poverty level are more likely to abuse drugs, have a life of drugs. But clearly this is going on in all segments of society and for different reasons, whether it enhances your ability to compete academically or for other reasons.
That's right.
Okay. Could you help us understand the motivating reasons, particularly adolescents are abusing prescribed medication?
Most adolescents use one of the four scheduled drug classes, which would be pain medications, anxiolytics, which are tranquilizers, the sleep, like Ambien or Lunesta, and the stimulants. So one of those four categories they actually are most likely to use for the pharmacological properties of that medication and to self-treat. And most kids who are abusing these prescription drugs are motivated to self-treat.
Why is it that many Americans are compelled to self-medicate?
There's probably two reasons. One is I think that people have always self-medicated around the world, and that there are healers, all cultures have healers, and we happen to have physician healers and dentist healers and nurse healers, and we have rules about the way they can heal. But I think the bigger piece about our culture is that we feel as though these medicines are safe and that they are ubiquitous and that they are part of being a healthy, proactive, young, vibrant person is to use them. So, and that's the message that the media gives us. So they appeal to our high value of youth and a vibrant life, whether it be Viagra or whether it be having enough sleep.
Could you help us understand from your point of view and from your many years of research, what are the tough questions that aren't being asked here? I mean,
Well, I think we don't understand what we're calling the epidemic of non-medical use of prescription medications. Part of it is that we've asked very simplistic questions, and we lump drugs into categories so that we cannot adequately explain when we see increases and decreases. So this is what I see the issue being. Are we talking about somebody who's abusing their own medication, that is, they're using it non-medically, or are we talking about someone who's using somebody else's medication? Why is the person who's using it non-medically, who has their own prescription, engaging in the behavior? And vice versa, why is the person without the prescription? We don't know the answers to that. We also don't know the motivations that kids have to divert and why there are gender differences in diverting pills. Girls divert to their friends usually to help them. Boys divert for their friends for hedonistic reasons, to get high or to party or to experiment.
And that's been one special area of your research, looking at the difference between boys and girls and how they look at drugs differently.
Exactly. And we know that there are gender differences in the prevalence rates as well. So is that young girls are more likely to abuse stimulants. Young girls are also surpassing boys in the opioid analgesics, the painkillers, which is a surprise because in the past, really before the crack epidemic, more males use drugs than females. And the fact that this is becoming more gender equal is very interesting and should give us pause, really.
Give us an idea of what your advice would be to parents in terms of what to look for if your child is indeed using a prescribed medication and abusing.
Well, there's two different groups. One is if your child has a prescription for the scheduled medications that are abusable. That is one set of behaviors you need to look at, and then you need to watch for the child who is using somebody else's prescription medication. Let me start with your own child who has perhaps a prescription for Adderall or Ritalin because they have ADD. You need to count those pills and control those pills. You need to talk to your child about the correct way to use them. The other is they need to talk about to their child about not using somebody else's prescription, and they need to role model that behavior themselves. So now those are the behaviors to prevent it. These are drugs with abuse and addictive potential, and they're like heroin, they're like crystal meth, they're like cocaine. So if your child is using too many opiates, it looks like a kid that's using too much heroin. If they're using too much of methylphenidate, which is Ritalin, they look like a kid that's using too much methamphetamine.
But what kind of public discourse needs to be introduced or at least be fostered in the media, but maybe more specifically in Congress? Do we need to look at what the FDA is doing?
Absolutely. On all levels. Let me begin, though, with the media, first of all. We need to have a public conversation about whether scheduled medications should be advertised and in what venues. And they send a message to everyone about the safety of pills and the use of pills to get rid of a problem. And we need to have that discussion in this society as to whether we really want that kind of message out.
We've been talking with Carol Boyd, director of the Institute for Research on Women and Gender at the University of Michigan. Carol is also a research scientist and former director at U of M's Substance Abuse Research Center.
This has been a production of the University of Michigan News Service. Visit us on the web at www.umich.edu/news.